local channels to give the candidates equal time to introduce themselves to the public. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has clarified four strategies for the upcoming elections. These strategies are real competition, real health, complete security, and a strong turnout by the voters. The enemies of Iran, however, have questioned the competition and healthy elections in a bid to ban the elections by people. The enemies, in a flagrant paradox, keep calling the elections as ceremonial and a show-off. They make every effort to convince people not to vote. Since the victory of the Islamic Revolution in February of 1979, elections have been among the main symbols of the Iranian people's political participation in the country. Thus, elections have created numerous opportunities in every domain, especially national security. In view of this, holding of free and fair elections will be helpful to stability and power of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Legally speaking, 24 hours before the start of the elections will be the deadline for election campaigning. As you may know, reformist and principalist candidates are the main factions or political inclinations in Iran. A single list will be released with the coalition of a few reformist parties and a party of moderation and development. They have finalized their 30-strong list for Tehran constituency. They're likely to announce a list for other provinces and cities too. Reformists have made it clear that banning of elections is detrimental to the fate of the country and will be to no avail to people and their aspirations. Principalists, too, have announced their serious participation in the upcoming elections. They have invited the nation to show a maximal turnout. Principalists have also tried to provide a single list of candidates. Various branches of this faction have come to the scene to show a heated competition. An official of the Principalist faction has announced that there are several lists for people and it is the people who will choose and vote freely. He added that principalists try to give a single list while a number of lists provide more options for voters. He assured the people that they will elect the best candidate from among the candidates whom they can vote for.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
WIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is IRIB English Radio. I am Hadi Saravi, your host with Viewpoints. Like always, here in the studio, I am with two great scholars, Brother Ali and Sheikh Rouhani. Welcome and thanks for being here. So, world and earth should not be empty of Imam presence. He is the one who is proof of Allah and is the Imam of time. And the era also. His gracious presence has been compared to that of sun behind clouds. Although there are and giving light even from far behind the clouds, yet can't be seen. Yes, today we're going to talk about the last Imam, the 12th Imam. I hope you enjoy the time and enjoy being with us. What is the best way, the shortest way to understand? I think by reading sometimes, isn't it? For example, we can read books, we can read a hadith, or we can talk to people. But is it enough? Maybe people have this question in their mind. Mm-hmm. This personality, which mm-hmm. is everywhere, and we can observe our deeds. Mm-hmm. So this person, how mm-hmm. can we know this mm-hmm. person? Mm-hmm. How is it possible?
Okay. Of course, there are different ways to know something. You know, sometimes, of course, you can acquire knowledge about something through, for example, being educated in a, for example, educational system, either school or university, college, whatever. The point is that we should, first of all, understand its importance, its significance. Then we can go find any way to find out, let's say, knowledge about this Imam. As we discussed before, that this guidance is significant, and that one who will be guiding us towards the right path is again significant. And the great loss that we may face at the end of this life and the hereafter, that's a really horrifying, or let's say disastrous kind of thing that we are waiting. So that's why in order to be saved from that hellfire or the eternal punishment, we have to go and invest on learning about this Imam, on learning about the guide. That is why we have to find, either by going to the Islamic seminaries, either by finding some masters, professionals, experts, either to go under educational systems, either by self-studies, as you rightly mentioned, studies, the books, searching, finding, let's say, materials, trustworthy materials regarding the Imam. Anyhow, in whatever way which is possible, we have to find out the way to get the knowledge about the Imam.
No, but I think one way to find this, so to speak, this help, how to know Imam better, is to ask himself to help us, to help us find the way. Or we can ask.
Spiritually talking, yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
Sometimes we can ask himself to do it. So what about, let me shift to this question. Is it really, we talked about knowing Imam, and you know, when he's not present and he's not among us, isn't it sometimes we have friend, we have someone that is close to us, and we can, it means something to know him or to study about him, to talk, to socialize with him, to live with him. But what about a person who is not present, who is not among us? It's so hard for people to connect, because we say that Imam is alive, is living among us, yeah. But you cannot see him. Yeah. It makes it a little hard for young people, especially young generations.
Due to the deprivation that we have ourselves created for ourselves, that mm-hmm. Actually yet not prepare ourselves for the meeting of the Imam, because those who have worked on themselves and they have reached to this level of or this honor of meeting Imam and visiting Imam, they have reached to this great honor and they have been benefited from Imam. But to talk about the necessity or the benefit of imam while he's absent, this is something else. Look, when we are talking about the concept of imamate, so even at the time of imams before Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, some of the companions did not have the chance to meet the imams. I mean, but they knew that these are the instructions, the guidelines that they have made for them in that time. We already talked about those who missed even the Holy Prophet, but they were among the best companions of the Holy Prophet, like Uwaisqaran, that we have been talking about him earlier. So when we are talking about this ma'rifah, this knowledge of Imam, it does not necessarily mean that we need to meet Imam alayhi salam. Even today that we are, for example, living in this country, or those who have been living 20 years ago or 30 years ago at the time of the late Imam Khomeini rahmatullahi alayhi, he was the leader of the Islamic Ummah, but they didn't meet him in person from close. But they had the chance to follow whatever he was ordering to the people. Though it's not good to compare the status of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam with Imam Khomeini, just to make it more closer to understanding. So we don't want to say that. This is just to be said as an example to be understood better. So the existence of Imam and the benefits and blessings of his existence does not have anything to do with his presence or his bodily or physically body. Though it is very important for us, it's a great, great honor to have this chance to meet Imam alayhi salam. But this is the benefit of, for example, as it has been said in the hadith and you mentioned in your introduction, like the importance and the benefit that the sun gives to the earth, even if it is behind the clouds, right? So the radiation that sun gives to the people, it comes in and it will benefit the people of the earth, but it cannot be seen. So it means that this shining blessing, this shining barakah is already there. So I want to say that the existence of Imam, when we are talking about the existence, the ma'rifah that we need to have about the existence of Imam, does not necessarily mean about his personal or physical or, let's say, bodily status of the Imam. But to know about the philosophy of Imam, to prove the existence of Imam, to talk about the lineage of Imam, where does it come from, his connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through whom he has been appointed, in what way, and these are the things that we need to know, and then to work on ourselves, to prepare ourselves for having this tawfiq and this chance to meet him, and hopefully, inshallah, to pave the way for his arrival and advent. So these are the important issues that we need to ponder and think about.
Yeah, for myself, I was thinking about this. Maybe this is your question. Maybe you're thinking about it too. Is it important to know Imam when he's not living among us? Because this is some how can know him when he's not among us, and how can we do our best? The question is this: how can we do our best to get closer and closer? You just partly answered this question, and sometimes it's something automatic. We don't realize it. We're not aware of it. We are getting closer and closer. We're using it. We're benefiting from it, but we're not aware of it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of very contradictory, because when you are aware of something, sometimes you're aware of something and you're using it and you know that you're benefiting from it. But sometimes you are using it and you're benefiting and you don't even realize that you are. And this is very, it feels really different to me. To those of you who are just joining us, we're talking about Imam, the 12th Imam. The source of guidance, its presence in our life, and how can we appreciate from his presence, how can we know him, and how can we connect and be connected. So the latest thing that I've been thinking about recently is this enough after knowing and having and loving the 12th Imam and this love towards him? Is this love enough, or there are some things that needs to be done or should be done?
Yes, love is enough. It depends that to what level you love someone, you know. If you love wholeheartedly someone, you would always observe him and consider him, you know.
They say that, for example, you know, look at my heart. I have this love in my heart. And then, yeah, that's it. So I just want a short answer from you.
It is said about Majnun, you know. sometimes he was riding on the sands, moving sands, the name of Layli, and sands were coming, removing the name of Layli. He was busy just writing that, and there was a wise man. He asked him that, why are you doing that? Are you wasting your life, your time writing this name? He said that, گفت مشق نام لیلی میکنم خاطر خود را تسلی میکنم. He said that this is my life, you know. Whenever I think about Layli, of course, this is my life, you know. If you love really someone, you would consider him, you would remind him, you would remember
very
him
well
every
said.
Moment.
Very well said. Yeah,
and
you.
Every moment you be very much careful and cautious how to live in a way that the beloved one would be satisfied.
Yeah, of course.
That's why if really someone wholeheartedly loves Imam Zaman, his life would be the best life. If the love is really love, you know?
Mm.
Or sometimes some people may claim, you know, that's a kind of fabricated love that people may
of
claim.
Of course.
That's not what I mean.
The original one.
Yeah, if you love, as it is mentioned about one of the great companions of the Holy Prophet, he loved the Holy Prophet, but he didn't see physically the Holy Prophet. But the Prophet, when he came to Medina, he said that I smell the perfume of Jannah.
And he was blind.
Was there, and the people said that there was someone who was looking for you, but since you didn't, you was not in the city, he left Medina, and he didn't wait because his mother didn't allow him to wait more about before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet said that I smell the perfume of Jannah in the streets of Medina.
Look, very moving
this,
story.
Yeah, this physical, as our brother Ustad Qanawati rightly mentioned, that this physical presence or physical, let's say, observation is not important, you know.
Yeah.
The love is important, the real love.
And it causes, it engages all your senses, all your presence, your full presence.
Particularly the youth, you know, the young generation, they understand me. When they love someone, how do they live?
So we can summarize it, the love that melts lover into the beloved.
Exactly.
This melting, right?
Yes.
This melting actually shows the whole attributes of this beloved in his own, in the lover's actions and treatments and behavior.
Yeah, of course. Okay, thank you. Thank you for this comments, your thoughts. And I wish I had more time. We talked about sources of guidance. How can we understand Imam in this life? And also we talked about many ideas about his mediation in people's lives, how he helps people, how he connects people or makes people find a way, and many more ideas about the 12th Imam. And also we talked about the love. One day the world will hear your voice, no matter what and where or when. One day the earth will face your face, for that day we will all resist. That's all the time we have. May the Almighty bless you all. By the way, don't forget to tune in next time. Stay safe. So long. Allahumma ajjil bariqa farad. Allahumma ajjil bariqa. Allahumma ajjil bariqa farad.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and since we're still basking in the blessings of the birthday of the Imam of the Age, Abu Saleh al-Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, here is an interesting saying from the Command of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, regarding the presence of the 12th and last successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The earth shall never be devoid of the divine proof. He may be apparent and prominent, or he may be concealed and hidden. And it is because of him that the proofs and signs of Allah are not wasted.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
The Iranian Dream.
Part 1.
So an email has recently come to light, an exchange between Jeffrey Leeds and former Secretary of State Colin Powell, in which he acknowledges that Israel has, quote, has, he says, 200 nuclear weapons. And the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty has not been signed by Israel. Under U.S. law, the United States should cut off support to Israel because it's a nuclear power that has not signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, according to Colin Powell. Correct?
Shouldn't you ask Colin Powell that? I'm not going to speak to this particular traffic, and I'm certainly
not going to discuss... So you're saying Israel doesn't have nuclear weapons?
I'm certainly not going to discuss matters of intelligence from the podium. I have no comment.
Who is it who is assaulting and taking food out of the mouths of the children of public workers in this state right now? Is it the Occupy Wall Street activists? No. No, the Occupy Wall Street movement is a movement about stopping the grinding wheels of repression right now and stopping this attack on all working people in this country.
Every human being has a dream, and every dream has a fate. Some dreams accompany one till death, and some only for moments that just tickle him. But he will soon forget. Our dreams sometimes are like others have, but they may hate it or at least be indifferent towards it. Sometimes it is like something that we own and we are not aware of. And sometimes it does not exist and we have just thought that others have. We're condemned to our mother's nationality, condemned to where we live, to live life that we spent and the footprints behind us. But I know one thing. We're free to have any hope, however far from the minds of others. The people I saw during this time had dreams of things that I already have. On the contrary, I wish I had the things that they have. But in fact, they didn't have. Every person has a dream. And I, the Iranian dream. Every day, millions and millions of letters are written and sent around the world. Some of the letters are written just for you, and some are open. Open or public letters are usually forgotten, because after a while you say to yourself, I am one of the thousands of people who will read it. What's written in it for me? But some of these open letters seem to be written for you yourself only, for every one of these people that have been addressed, for their own selves. These letters are not human, and we will never learn. A letter for you.
How are you?
I'm good. Good, good to see you.
Thanks.
Oh. Well, thank you.
Mr. Karlapafin, thanks again for coming to our news agency. May I ask you to introduce yourself?
Well, my name is Caleb Maupin. I live in New York City. I'm originally from Ohio.
Very good. Why have you come to Iran? Should we be waiting for another news about an American spying on Iran?
I don't think they would let me work for the CIA even if I wanted to. Even if I volunteered, they would probably not allow me to. And I understand why you would be concerned about that based on what's been happening lately with the U.S. based on these criminal sanctions and all that. I can understand your concern.
Right. So I guess after the agreement made between Iran and the P5+1 in Switzerland, you've come to Iran to make some investments or sign some oil contract, right?
Well, I'm certainly not a businessman. I don't have any financial interest in things. I'm not here to make any money.
Is this for the tourist spots in Iran?
Well, I mean, you have a very, very beautiful city here. I mean, there's a lot of things to see, a lot of very beautiful sights, public gardens, parks. I mean, very amazing. But I wouldn't say I came here as a tourist. That wasn't the primary thing.
To some of the people, I was a stupid idler who had left the cradle of civilization behind and wasted my life. Or maybe it was just to get famous. It did not matter what image was created for my presence in Iran. The only thing that was important to me was that I kept my headline.
Somewhat difficult for me to understand that that you know everything is a matter of negotiation and you know I'm not used to that. I'm not used to that. In the U.S., the way we talk about money is very clear. You know, like when you go to a store, there's no haggling. You don't negotiate about the price. It has this price, and you buy it. When someone's to be paid, they're paid this amount, and that's that. But I noticed in Iran, there's a lot more negotiation and back and forth, and things are much more. I don't know what the word is, but there's much more of a bargaining process, I guess you could say, when it comes to especially things related to money, whether you're buying something, whether you're doing something. It was interesting to see how passionate people were about politics and how willing they were to talk to me about it, because people were more than happy to give me their view. Everyone in Iran has an opinion. From the littlest child to the oldest man, they all have an opinion about politics. The one day we were in the bazaar, there were a couple Iranians who were giving me their opinion about politics, and I think they assumed that because I was from the United States, that I had a pro-U.S. government perspective. I think they assumed that I was like supporting the government of the U.S. And so when they were telling me about politics, they became very angry and very fired up at me, and they were kind of yelling at me as if they were yelling at the government. And because of the translation issue, they couldn't really understand that I'm someone who opposes those policies. So I remember that. That was kind of an uncomfortable situation. I was told by one of my friends when I came here that they told me to be very careful how I acted, because they said if I broke any of the Islamic laws here in Iran, that I would be stoned to death. We hear that in Iran, if it's illegal to wear blue jeans, that if you wear jeans in Iran, you're arrested and put in jail. I recently read the letter of the Supreme Leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, the letter he wrote to the youth of Europe and North America. It was very poetically worded, and it made me think many things, and it made me want to learn more about the Islamic Republic of Iran and learn more about your country, your revolution, your beliefs, and what the truth really is, because the letter pointed out that we really shouldn't trust U.S. media, so it was important to me to come to the Islamic Republic of Iran and try to find out more about your country.
In the United States, it is very hard to get information about the Supreme Leader. I read his letter to the youth of North America, and it really touched and moved me. But I know very little about him.
I am addressing you, the youth, not because I overlook your parents,
but rather because the future of your nations and your country will soon be in your hands.
And I also find that the sense of quest for truth is more rigorous and attentive in your hearts.
I would like to talk to you about Islam, particularly the image that is presented to you as Islam.
Receive knowledge of Islam from its primary and original sources.
Gain information about Islam through the Quran and the life of its prophet.
I would like to ask you whether you have directly read the Quran of the Muslims.
Have you studied the teachings of the Prophet of Islam and his humane ethical doctrines?
Have you ever asked yourself how and on the basis of which values has Islam established the greatest scientific and intellectual civilization of the world and raised the most distinguished scientists and intellectuals throughout several centuries?
I would like you not to allow the derogatory and offensive image buildings to create an emotional gulf between you and the reality, taking away the possibility of an impartial judgment from you.
Today, the communication media have removed the geographical borders.
Hence, don't allow them to besiege you with fabricated and mental borders.
I think it's a very great idea because, unfortunately, there's a lot of misconceptions about Islam. And I think the reason why so many are being prejudiced, it's not because they're bad people, it's just they're very ignorant about what Islam is really about. Yeah. So I think what the work you do here is very great. If I want to learn about Islam, I think the best way is to go to read literature that is from Islam.
I went to the bookstores in Tehran, near Tehran University. And one thing I was really happy to see was there was such a variety of different books with different perspectives, you know. You had the far left, Marxist literature. You had right-wing literature, Islamic literature, Christian literature. There was a wide variety of religious and political views that you could find very easily at these bookstores. These were public bookstores. Any Iranian could walk into these bookstores and purchase any book that they had there in stock.
Oh, children's books. Classics from the U.S. So I saw they had a lot of Iranian literature, but they also have some literature from the U.S. This is Uncle Tom's Cabin, a novel about the struggle to abolish slavery. It was very famous, played a very important role in U.S. history. Now, it's interesting, they tell us in the U.S., I've heard so many times in the U.S. that in Iran, reading the writings of Karl Marx is illegal. But when I walked into the store, I see them, not only are they not illegal, but they're very, very accessible. Here they've got, Marx.
We have some books about Marx. Hmm. Second book, third book, and fourth book.
Wow.
This is a series about Marx, Capital of Marx.
Oh, Capital, yeah. I've read that in English.
So Capital, yes.
Hitler, yeah.
Hitler.
Yeah.
The America history. Mm. The America history.
Oh, really? Now, what book is this? This American this history.
Yes, Howard Zinn.
Oh, Howard Zinn, the People's History of the United States.
Yes.
Yeah, I read that book in the U.S. It's a very popular book, The People's History of the United States. Oh, I got to remember this and that, how you guys do the books. It's so different than we do. But yeah, you know why people in the U.S. like that book so much? It's because it's so opposite of what we're told in the schools and the universities. They don't teach us that. You know, what we learn in the schools and the universities, that's not what's in this book. This book is kind of the untold story of the U.S. You know, it's very well loved. Now, one thing you might be able to help me with, I don't know, I mean, I think you have mainly books that are in Farsi, Persian here. But before I leave, I really would like to get a copy of the writings of Imam Khomeini in English, you know. I'm trying to come to understand Iranian society and the revolution and
it's me. Very... Let me
the educational system
some
is...
some off shelf.
Yeah.
This is about...
Oh, and that's in English.
The Islamic Revolution of Iran.
And it's by Imam Khomeini?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't have any books.
Okay.
Translated in English by Imam Khomeini. The role of Muslim women in the development of societies.
Very interesting. I think that I want to buy this book.
Okay.
So how many? Can I buy it in dollars?
No. In real.
Only in real. Okay. Yes. All right. Well, I think I'll buy this. I want to learn about the Islamic Revolution of Iran. Okay.
53,000 tumans.
Okay. So I don't know what that exactly is. So I have, this is the Iranian money I have.
Okay.
Can you tell me if it's enough? All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And I wish you the best of luck in your continued work at this lovely bookstore.
Thank you.
Great, and thank you for the book. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
And goodbye to you, and thanks.
Goodbye. Have a nice time in Iran.
I will. Thanks.
There are a lot of Iranian young people who are very, very interested in ideas, philosophy, and, you know, this is something we're not told in the U.S. In the U.S., they tell us, for example, that music is illegal in Iran. Well, it's not illegal to listen to music in Iran. There's music everywhere.
Iran's largest religious festival coincided with the days of my presence in Iran. I just wanted to use this opportunity to have a little talk with people about the Supreme Leader of Iran and his letter. But everything does not always happen the way we expect. That night happened to me, and it was not what I expected at all.
It's very difficult for me to really describe it. I don't think you can really, really understand what went on in that room until you're there. You have to be there to understand it. I was not expecting what I saw in that room, and I don't think I could ever really explain it to anyone.
We're here in a very, very sacred place. This is Imam Zodi Ali Akbar, and there are celebrations going on. They haven't actually started yet. Celebrations for Imam Mahdi. He's the 12th Imam in Shia Islam, and he has left, but it is believed that he will return at the end of time along with Jesus Christ.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. You're listening to our voice from Iran. In this episode of today's special, we're going to speak about the benefits of Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, during his ghaibah or occultation.
It's yet another day, feeling all alone. Without your presence, I just can't go. My eyes are searching for you everywhere. After the end of the Friday prayer, O son of Hassan, my beloved Imam of the talking Quran, accept my salam.
Today, Monday, 16th of the month of Sha'ban, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 7th of Isfand, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 26th of February, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we'll listen to verse 105 of chapter Anbiya.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولقد كتبنا في الزبور من بعد الذكر أن الأرض يرثها عبادي الصالحون
And we have already written in the book of Psalms after the previous mention that the land of paradise is inherited by my righteous servants.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It seems that the objective is the book specialized to David, peace be upon him, which contains the whole supplications, prayers, and advices of that prophet. This book was sent down after the Torah. And the purpose of the holy word reminder mentioned in the verse is also the very Torah. In an explanation to the verse, Imam Baqir, peace be upon him, remarks that it refers to the companions of Imam al-Mahdi in the last days.
My hands, my life are at your command. Help me, Ya Mahdi. Help me to help you in action and speech. To deliver your message to the people I reach. 1,200 years you've been alive, and wait. You wait, we wait. We've prepared your seat. A Muslim, a man, a guide, our savior. God will bless us with you as a favor. They ask us, how is it you've lived for so long? We smile and remind them of Jesus and Elijah, or Khizr. And Isa, they ask us, where are you? Why would God hide you? We remind them of Yusuf. You return when we decide to improve our actions, to accept our failures. Men rise to lead nations but fail for centuries. Our daily behavior makes God delay our savior. God promised your victory to us in the Quran, like Moses or Musa. He protected your birth. We have said in the Psalms and the Torah that my righteous servants will inherit the earth.
So it's nice to look at the benefits of Imam al-Mahdi during his occultation. Any human needs blood to continue his life, and the existence of blood is necessary in every single moment of life. This need is not in any way independent of Allah. He is Allah who has created this need for human, and He, Allah, is the one who has fulfilled it. Similarly, the function of Imam over the rest of creatures is not independent of Allah. He was Allah who created this need for the universe, and He was Allah who has fulfilled it. Our Creator, God, wished the inhabitants of the earth not to be able to live without the existence of His representative on the earth, the same way that Allah wished our body not to be able to survive without blood. Notice that in the example, both Imam and blood are no more than the creation of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear brothers and sisters, in this show we are going to talk about the benefits of the hidden Imam alayhi salam, that is Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So let's have a look at the narrations on benefiting from the presence of Imam Mahdi, Imam of that time, during his occultation. This question is not a new and has not only arisen in our era. It has been discussed in Islamic narrations even before the birth of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, when the Prophet of Islam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and previous Imams spoke of the Mahdi and his prolonged occultation, facing such questions and responding to them. For example, a narration from the Holy Prophet of Islam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he says, the Prophet of Islam, in response to the question of whether the Shia can benefit from the presence of the Qa'im during the occultation, said, yes, by the Lord who appointed me as a prophet, they will benefit from him during his occultation and will utilize the light of his guardianship, just as they benefit from the sun when it is behind clouds. This is what the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Again, another narration from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, from the day Allah created Adam until the day of resurrection, the earth has never been and will never be devoid of a divine proof, either apparent and well-known or hidden and unknown. For if there were no divine proof, Allah would not be worshipped. A companion asked, how can people benefit from a hidden and unknown Imam? The Imam replied, just as they benefit from the sun when it is behind clouds.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
This is today's a special. This is our role as we wait for the Imam's reappearance. One of our roles is calling upon the Imam as an intercessor. For us to truly reach Allah and fulfill our responsibility to Him, we need to identify those whom Allah has given the power of intercession, as He commands us. Allah says, believers, have fear of Allah, find the means to reach Him, and strive hard for His cause so that you may have everlasting happiness. Without a doubt, among the best means of reaching Allah is utilizing the best of His creation, whom He has sent with divine authority or wilayah. For us, that requires us to seek Allah by the intercession of the Imam of our time. May Allah hasten His reappearance.
Ya Abu Saleh, 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 Ya Abu Saleh. حسن روحی فداک حتا ترانا و نراک فلیس محبوبی سواک فلیس محبوب نالحسن روحی فداک.
Now that we speak about our duty, our role towards Imam during his ghibah or occultation, it's nice to know, why did Imam al-Mahdi disappear? That's a question. There are many reasons behind it. The most important reason of it will be disclosed when Imam al-Mahdi will appear. However, I mention a few reasons that I know. A very easy answer would be, this is Allah's will. His will is based on His infinite wisdom. The appearance of Imam al-Mahdi solely depends on the decision of Allah. He knows best how to act. the question might be as naive as asking why some people are black and some are white, why some are beautiful, why others are not. This is Allah's decree. Another reason, a better answer, which also answers why some are beautiful and others are not, would be, it is a test. Allah could send all people to paradise directly, but he did not because he wanted to test us. The test of Allah is actually a test that proves the facts for ourselves as witness. Otherwise, Allah has the foreknowledge of everything.
The message of the Imam alayhi salam is a message of principle. It's a message of moral principles, moral values, ethical standards. The Imam represents the path of all prophets, and all prophets of God, their priority was moral standards, akhlaq. That's how we prepare for the reappearance of the Imam ajjalallahu ta'ala farajah. Let me examine my akhlaq today. Does my akhlaq satisfy my Creator? Does my akhlaq bring me closer to the Imam of my time? Akhlaq means humbleness. Akhlaq means I don't allow for selfishness to envelop and captivate my heart. Akhlaq means I control my anger. Akhlaq means I am generous, I am kind to my parents, to my family, to my neighbors, to those around me. Akhlaq means that I am charitable. Akhlaq means wherever I go, I spread a positive attitude. Akhlaq means I'm not jealous of others. In fact, I want goodness for them and I pray for them. This is the system of akhlaq, my dear brothers and sisters. Akhlaq means I control my habits. Many youth struggle with lifestyles that are negative or negative habits. If I want to bring myself closer to the Imam of my time, I start changing these habits. And it's possible. Even if a habit is deep-rooted in you, and it's so difficult for you to get rid of this habit, it's possible. And the key is to practice a good habit for 40 days, or to abandon a bad habit for 40 days, it becomes second nature. There's science behind this. We have beautiful narrations and hadiths behind this.
That was all for this episode of today's special under the topic of benefits of Imam al-Mahdi, the last savior during his ghibah. Thank you very much for listening to us. Inshallah, we meet you soon on the birthday anniversary of the last savior, Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. Wassalam. Allahumma ajjil baliyka
from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.